Welcome to New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, and philanthropists about their experiences within different impact investing themes, as well as explore the power of stewardship and capital. I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital. I'm here with Chandran Thomas, and I'm excited because we met, and I don't know exactly, it was a couple years ago, you spoke to a group of Wheaton College students about, and I remember it was called Changing the World of Work. Did you have your book out by then, or is this part of your book?
So it's interesting because literally they'd asked me to speak right at the time, right around the time that the book was going to be released. Over time, I'd done a lot of work in that area. And so it's obviously something I'm very passionate about.
Well, let me give the audience a little background on yourself. You're a gifted teacher, and I got to hear that, writer and executive. Professionally, you are president and chief executive of Northern Trust Asset Management. How many AUM?
So now, as of the end of last year, 1.35 trillion in AUM.
Okay. And you're also a member of the executive management group of Northern Trust Corporation. Did I get all that correct?
You got it all correct.
Thanks for joining us. For those listeners who've not heard of Chandran, he is in the marketplace a lot, speaking about DE&I, markets, all different kinds of things. So I think we'll find this fascinating. So give us a little background on yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, and frame out your career, which has been highly successful.
I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, worked and lived other places, but you know, sometimes parts of life come back full circle. Three siblings. I have a really close knit family. My parents were bivocational in that they worked, but they have an interesting life narrative in that they both went back to school later in life. So my mom not only finished her high school degree, but she went on to get her undergraduate and her master's degree and go into social work. So if you can imagine, I'm going through school in high school, and I had that incredible experience of both my parents, my father also going back to school to get his college degree. So he worked after coming out of the Air Force more as what you would call a stationary engineer. And again, my mom eventually went into social work. But in my early formative years, I mean, we were products of, if you recall, the steel mills closing in the Midwest and kind of what that meant in the tough periods of times for families financially. I tell people, you know, if I think about the arc of my life professionally, I mean, where I grew up on the south side of Chicago, it could have been a universe away from LaSalle Street, which is the financial district in Chicago, or Wall Street, where I worked. But it's interesting, you know, how things come together. I developed an interest in business pretty early on. Jeff, I can literally remember my mom, when I was young, asking me, what do you want to do? Do you want to be a doctor or do you want to be a lawyer? And none of those things appealed to me. You know, I would see, and this is where images are powerful. I would see business people on TV wearing their suits and carrying their briefcases. And probably at the age of, you know, 8, 9, you can't say you know exactly what they're doing, but there was just something that drew me to that. And so I had this desire to go into business. And later on, when I went to high school and I got exposed, I went to a magnet high school. It's a great program.
But you don't know what it was that was drawing you towards business other than the suits, which, by the way, I have seen the way you dressed and you look. So you picked that piece up. But you don't know why the business was intriguing to you?
I believe it was just, it wasn't so much the look. You were observing people and it seemed like they were doing impactful things, that they were impacting not only resources, but different parts of business. And it just, I think in a way that I couldn't really articulate then, I felt drawn to that. Now, when I went to a magnet high school, I had my first opportunity to take some courses in accounting. I took applied economic course. So now I can actually begin to really situate what does, in a sense, of the profession of business offer. And so that's how I, you know, go down that path. I did my undergraduate in Florida at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee. By the way, that's also where I met my wife, who went to Florida State. And I did my MBA later at the University of Chicago. So that's my educational background. But, you know, after doing several internships while I was in college, my last internship was with Morgan Stanley. And that's how I go down more of the, you know, capital markets path. I had developed, you know, more of an interest, even though I was an accounting major, in investments, and started to look at that. And so that's when I, you know, left school and went to work in New York. And so I spent the early and formative years of my career, both at Morgan Stanley working there, Worked while I was in business school for an investment management firm, and then I spent time at Goldman Sachs. So those are all of the, you know, sort of the foundational years of my career. I spent the last 18 years at Northern Trust, and I've had an array of interesting roles. I came in initially transitioning from the institutional capital markets business to work in wealth management. But relatively early on in my experience, I was asked to work for the then CEO as head of corporate strategy. And from there, I got to run several businesses. I ran our capital markets business. We had a wholly owned broker dealer. I was asked to start our exchange fund business. We have a business that we built there branded FlexShares ETFs. From there, just my responsibilities just expanded. You know, the reward for hopefully doing good work is, as you could appreciate, Jeff, more work.
Yeah.
So I got responsibility for mutual funds. They asked me to take responsibility for all of product management for the asset management business. And ultimately, in 2017, I was asked to become president and chief executive of our asset management business, which also meant joining the management group of the corporation. Away from professionally, I have to say personally, I've alluded to it, but I have a wife better than I deserve, Jeff. We've been married nearly 25 years now.
Congratulations.
And I have two young adult sons, one's in college and one on the way.
Can you tell us where they're going to school?
My oldest is at my alma mater. So he's a couple of years in at Florida A&M. And so my senior in high school, we're in that process where it's good. He's two for two right now in terms of places he applied and got the acceptances. He's undecided. He says he wants to see all the precincts in, and then he's going to make his decision.
Okay. All right. Look, you got a huge job, totally random. How do you deal with the stress?
That is a great question. And it's one, I think, Jeff, that people don't talk about transparently enough. Because one of the things that you find with people who are, you know, high achievers or have big roles, you tend not to think about it. But it's a very real thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's impossible to have a job just with the physical demands. I think about the number of hours that you work. I would say pre-pandemic, I mean, I was typically traveling, you know, over 200,000 flight miles a year. So just literally just managing that. You think of the nature of the decisions that you have to make. I always laugh with people. I say, by the time a decision comes to my desk, more than not, it means it couldn't have been resolved earlier or easily.
Yeah.
So it's just the nature of the job. Here's what I found. Three very important things. For me, you have to have a foundation. And for me, that foundation is my faith. It allows me to take my work seriously, but when I really focus on that, not take myself too seriously. So I believe in something bigger than myself. And, mm-hmm. and it's not something you wrestle with. It. You have to remind yourself of it, but it starts there. The second thing is, who are the people that are in your circle? You know, when I say I'm married to a wife better than I deserve, I mean, that's the most important relationship you have, mm-hmm. with the exception of my relationship with Christ. And so what you have in terms of your home environment, your family environment, the people that give you energy, because when you're in the kind of role that I'm in, most of the time, and I say this not in a negative way, just a true way, when your interactions is you're putting out energy. People, I like to say, are mostly taking withdrawals, not making deposits. So if you don't structure your life such that you don't have those people and those experiences that are giving you energy, stress can be overwhelming. The third thing that you have to do, in my opinion, relates to that. And it's how you decide to spend your time. And so the job can be all consuming if you allow it. But as you know, I'm a person of many interests. I love to write. I love to read. I'm a runner and I ride bikes when we like travel. And so there are things that are part of who I am that I choose not to be lost in the context of what I do.
Look, I had a large job for me back when I was 32, got put into a fairly large position and ended up at a 20-year career. Normally, it was, you know, you'd say it's a pretty big position. Well, nothing compared to what you're doing. But I'll tell you, when I stepped down, I didn't realize the toll that even that role had taken on me physically, spiritually, family. And yeah. So I look at guys like yourself and women who are in, you know, big roles like that. I mean, on one hand, people look up to you. On the other hand, and they should. On the other hand, it's lonely up there. And so just know from my perspective, I commend you for what you're doing. I love the balance that you're trying to bring. As I've seen you on TV and do different stuff, your interests are broader than just what you do day to day. And so I commend you on how you're living your life. Let's dig into this. So Chandran, how would you best describe yourself in the context of where you're at in your life journey?
It's a really good question, because I will tell you, I'm actually at a really wonderful place in my life journey. I like the question that you asked that preceded it, because what I would say to you and listeners, it's a place that I've had to fight for. Because everything from early on in life, we had a strong faith foundation. To say that I grew up with limited financial resources would be a dramatic understatement. And you think of all the things that you're trying to do early on in life, right? You're trying to move yourself to a better position. You're trying to put your family in a better position, take care of extended family, all these kind of real demands and sometimes self-imposed demands. I think early on in life, whether we articulate it always or not, self-interest is higher than even we recognize, because we're trying to, quote unquote, find that elusive success. And we don't even necessarily have it so well defined. And so where I am in life now is that while life is an ongoing process of self-discovery, we never end that. I have a deep sense today of who I am. And that's so important. I have a strong foundation, as I said, in my faith, which grounds me, deeply fulfilling relationships. I think what that allows me to do is operate with a higher level of courage and conviction and the things that are really important to me. And I wouldn't have been able to say this in the same way. I think you can probably appreciate what I'm going to say next. I really do think there is a quote unquote second half of life. And in the first half, we're fighting so hard for success, but you transition at some point, and it's not a particular time or year. It's different times for different people. But you shift to more of an emphasis on significance, thinking about how can you be more purpose-focused and more people-focused. And that's the season and the space I find myself in.
I hit that spot at 40 about 8 years ago when I transitioned from being an executive at a leading alternative investment manager to switching to impact investing. And in that transition, I didn't realize how much of my identity was tied up in that role. I would have never have guessed that. And I didn't realize how much of a workaholic I was and how I was addicted to that. The difference is in our world, we got paid for our addiction and we get praised for this addiction. So it's definitely a compounding situation. You talked about where, you know, it's about living for significance and whatnot. So with that, how are you in this, and I'm assuming you're in the second half, how are you trying to change the world?
There are three areas where I feel there's a personal mission or mandate. I say I really want to impact lives in the area of faith, family, and finance. From a faith standpoint, one of the things my wife and I did many years ago, and this was a true North Star for us, is we articulated our personal values. Now, values are deeply held beliefs. None of us necessarily have the same values. We may have ones that are common. But for us, it started with faith, it's love, it's wisdom, accountability, leadership, competence, and generosity. I mean, as we brought our sons up, we would talk about those, but we would say, what does that mean? And so part of changing the world, I think, starts with you've got to really understand what are your deeply held values. And then it allows you to think about how you translate that into your personal mission. And so from a faith standpoint, you know, I want to help people find their own values. And I can do that, whether it's in my role in the church as a teaching pastor and a counselor at work. In many respects, when you become an executive, if you're doing your job well, a lot of your time is spent mentoring and coaching and developing people. And I think people take for granted how much impact and influence you can have on lives. Now, that cuts both ways. That influence can be for good. It can be a negative or adverse impact. But I start with that. And so that's the faith aspect. Family, there are so many lessons that you learn. It starts with your own family. But, you know, I think we all can be guilty if you're wired a certain way of letting work or other things consume your time, which is your most important resource. But helping people think about how do we in the right ways invest in our family? That's our nuclear family, our extended family. You know, we could have a whole nother podcast about family, right? Because I think one of the things in our hustle and bustle society that's got lost are those true family connections. It's amazing how many times I talk to people that they don't even spend time with their parents or loved ones.
Yeah.
And I think what that means in terms of the social structure of society. So we should even have to call it this, but maybe help bring about a renaissance in terms of how we think about strong families, which are the hallmark of strong communities. And so whether it's through speaking and writing, transparency, that's a part of it, how I want to impact the world.
Can I jump in real fast and then you go to finance?
Yes, please.
Because I was had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I have a deep passion for helping those men and women who've been in prison. And the dialogue at breakfast, and I have no clue if I have the right answer, but this is a big data guy. And he's like, Jeff, what is the number one issue for, you know, the criminal justice system? And it's like, oh, geez, that's a massive thing. And I'm not the only one thinking about it. And I said, look, I'm going to give you, there's a lot of issues, but I'm going to give you one of them that I think is central from my experience going into prisons, but it's cliche-ish. And I said, it starts at the family. And so just what you just described, talk to your kids about values. The fact that I had another podcast earlier, and there was a wonderful lady, and on Fridays at dinner, they would talk about service opportunities and philanthropic ways that as a family we're going to get together. And yeah, that just doesn't happen as much. You know, you talk about family. Yep. I want to just emphasize, my gosh.
Yep.
And by the way, it's complicated, and I don't think at all the family has to all look the same way. But man, having an adult figure who pours in unconditionally to you is just massive. And unfortunately, in America, we have plenty of examples where that's just not the scenario we live in.
Well, we couldn't agree more. The other thing is finance. You know, finance, I mean, it's so influential. Like when you think about, you know, we talk about business broadly, but think about capital, the access to capital, capital mm-hmm. markets. People talk about public companies, but you would know this well. Most mm-hmm. people don't realize how much of what we look around at is actually owned by private companies or private investors, right? And so I really do believe that inherently that there is so much good within the context of our capital markets and capitalism, but we shouldn't be naive as to say that our capitalism is perfect. It needs perfecting. Yep. There are inadequacies, inequities. And so for me, when I think about finance, I think of a more, for lack of better terms, conscious form of capitalism. I'm a big believer in sustainability and impact investing. One of the things that I've had the privilege of doing at Northern, like that's an area where we have a focus over decades and we're a global leader. I mean, we today have of those assets we talked about, but $168 billion of what we wow. manage is just in sustainable investing strategies. And we're very focused on stewardship and how we impact companies that we have an ownership interest in. For me, when you talk about how we want to change the world, I think I've been incredibly blessed to have the opportunities that I have to occupy the space that I do. But for me, I'm always thinking about, well, how do I use that platform for good? Mm-hmm. Whether it's my voice, how do I lead in a way that lets people know it's not just about, you know, turning a quick buck? And how do we really not just generate financial returns, but actually generate positive social impact? And those things are not mutually exclusive.
Oh yeah. Trust me, that I think I've got bruises from answering that question over the last 5 to 6 years. Look, maybe if you have time, I'd love to delve into this piece even more at some point. I talk about, and this sounds arrogant, but I talk about trying to help redeem capitalism because I'm a capitalist at heart.
Yep.
There are pieces where it's clearly off the rail. One yeah. comment I want to make is we get so focused on self and stock market and all that stuff that we forget even the stock market. Why is the stock market created? It's not just so that people can quote unquote gamble or what. It's a right. way the system functions to give capital so people can go innovate and create. And on the private side, I mean, that's what we focus on. You know, I'm actually, I got to be careful what I say here, but I'm in an organization that does alternative investments. And one of the things that I want to try to inspire this group, whether they're called impact investments or not, because a lot of them are not, and that's okay. I mean, I came from that industry, but I still want people to realize that that capital, whatever it is in the private market, is having an impact on people, society, communities, and it's either positive or negative. There's a way to be engaged in this and to make a difference. And capital markets, in addition to the stock market or Wall Street, there's huge opportunity and massive capital is needed. So, but we take it for yeah. granted of What a privilege it is that you and I today, with as little as $10 or whatever the math is, could go participate in Wall Street through whatever platform. Like, we take that for granted, but that's an amazing gift, even that.
It is. But I love the emphasis that you have, because we have to be honest and address the inconvenient truths. Because to your point, we'll use your term of redeeming what needs to be redeemed. In a functioning and a fair society, what version of the world could we say in the private markets? Look at venture capital. Mm-hmm. Where less than 2% of the money that is invested with women-led businesses. How could we, if we're just being objective and honest, say that's good, right? If we think about even in the public markets where I operate, and we think about those who are responsible for stewarding the capital, the trillions of dollars yep. around the world, less than 1.4% or so of that is managed by women and people of color. So while there are lots of incredibly important things that are happening by means of capitalism, we have to recognize that the system is not working effectively or as inequitably as it could. And we all should care about that, because that's not just adversely affecting certain communities. It limits the opportunity set for all of us.
I need to lock arms with you, because I'm trying to carry that message. And it's tough. I'm going into the traditional financial world, and people look at, not all, but some look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, what? Wait, you're actually trying to bring in heart along with your head and investing? And I'm like, yep, it's exactly what I'm trying to do. In fact, what I want to tell people is you can't keep your emotions out of investing. As much as you try, we're connected. So let's find the good stuff and invest in it. Along those lines, when did you realize the power of capital?
You know, very early on in life. So people ask me about my first business endeavors. It started as an adolescent. So my businesses were mowing lawns and shoveling snow in the winter. I remember that, no exaggeration, so we had a really tiny house, but we had this large backyard because we lived in front of some railroad tracks. And I would have to go and cut the grass. And we had a lawnmower with no bag. And so if you can imagine this, I had to cut the grass and then rake up all the
That's horrible.
Yeah, yes. Now, so I decided I wanted to make some additional money. So I was like, if I'm going to cut our lawn, because that wasn't a paying job, that I could cut other lawns in the neighborhood. So I went to my dad and I made a proposal. I said, look, I know we don't have a lot of money or whatever, but please, if you would be willing to front the capital to buy a lawnmower with a bag, I could be so much more productive and effective. And I still remember to this day, him making that sacrifice and doing that. And then me and my friend, we started our own sort of lawn mowing business. And we were able to do so much. I mean, the amount of money we could just make kind of over, you know, that period of time from late summer through the early fall, mowing lawns. But because he was willing to, quote unquote, invest some capital in us.
Great, great story. And I have been called to invest in businesses run by or that hire formerly incarcerated. A lot of these men and women, they need that opportunity. They need somebody to step up and say, I'll give you a shot. And what I have found in these situations, and it's still early, so the jury's still out, but I believe in these men and women, they actually have a greater sense of wanting to accomplish than most. They want to prove it to the world. They want to prove it to themselves. And you're like, all right, if that's where you're at, I'll support you on that. So just, you're right. The access to capital, somebody to invest in you and believe in you is a big deal. You know, what does stewardship mean to you?
You know, when I think about stewardship, it's about two things. One, it's not about how much you have, but it is about what you do or how you manage what you have. Secondarily, when I think of stewardship, and this is admittedly an orientation of my faith, it's about often and most often overseeing or managing property of others. And so, you know, my faith orientation says, ultimately, what I have, I'm a steward of. It doesn't belong to me. But I know that in my work environment. So at Northern Trust, like you said, people think it's a big deal. You lead this asset management company and you all manage $1.35 trillion in assets. Well, it's not mine. I'm entrusted with that. I have a fiduciary responsibility. I'm a steward over it. In every aspect of my, you know, professional life, my personal life, my faith life, that stewardship aspect is really important. But again, it's how we are careful with managing what we have, producing a expected return on it. And it should be a good return. And that return, by the way, you would agree with this, I know, Jeff, is not simply measured in dollars and cents. It's about the return on value and values.
All right, we're gonna open it up and have total fun. I always have to preface this because it's a hard question to answer, because it's like, okay, it doesn't have to be the number one or the best. But if you could have one dream come true for your life, what would that be?
So there are sort of two dreams I have, and I'll give them to you quickly. The first does tie to what I do professionally. And it's interesting to hear you talk about your calling, because one, it took many years for me to, in a sense, become comfortable and confident, and I think really good at what I do. But I just believe that the lessons that I have, the experience that I have, can make a bigger impact in the world. And so I'm really interested in advancing what I do. My biggest dream would be to have outsized impact in the world of sustainable and or impact investing. My dream would be in part to totally expand in a measurable way the access to opportunity and capital, particularly to underserved and unserved communities. I feel very strongly about that as it pertains to women and communities of color. So I would say at this point of my life and career, that's my biggest dream and desire. And then personally, I love writing, right? And so, you know, so to me, I would just love to have the ability that through my writing, have the impact to reach a broader audience, reach a global audience. And it's not about sales. It's just about the exchange of ideas and the ability for positive influence.
Well, it seems like you're well on your way. So at least on the writing side, and obviously on the sustainable side, we'll figure out how to help you on the minority and women. Actually, we have worked with asset managers who do that very thing. The hardest part is, although it's changing, the hardest part is convincing fiduciaries to have that discussion with their investors, and then to, if appropriate, implement that. Because that's a different dialogue than your traditional 60-40 small, mid, large cap discussion.
Right.
But I propose, and the data will support me, a lot of investors actually want to have that discussion.
I agree.
Chandran, I really appreciate your coming on and sharing. I personally could have about 4 hours of this discussion with you, because there's so many needed topics to talk about, but even less about talk about. We need people who are going to actually put their time and talent and treasure into making a difference. And I'll have to tell you, in this whole impact space, hopefully it's not ego, I am so sick of hearing people talk about stuff. In fact, right, the point anymore, I'm like, if you're not doing anything, I don't really want to talk to you. And go risk some time, go risk some capital, and then let's have a discussion.
That's right.
But anyways, thanks for your time. It's been an honor, and it's been fun getting to know you. And just your book, can you just share just a snippet of what it is, just so that if people want to learn more about you and what you think?
So the most recent book, again, is Discover Joy at Work. And the subtitle is Transforming Your Occupation into Your Vocation. It's available in all major sort of outlets like Amazon and the like. But if people want to specifically find out information about it, they can go to our website, ChandranThomas.com. You're only going to find one Chandran on the internet. So I mean, easy to find. And the basic premise, very simply, is based around three things. One, work is inherently good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Work is intended to be joyful, and we're actually literally designed to actually flourish in our work. Now, there is a construct in the book where I talk about, you know, again, the workplace. I talk about work ethic and ultimately our work life, but that's the framing of it. So I thank you for sharing.
So if I had gone to advisors, investors 3 years ago and said, hey, we're going to invest in Africa, or pick your place outside the US, and we're going to create jobs, people would have viewed that as impactful. If I would have said we're going to do the same thing in the US, people would have said, I don't know if that's really impactful. Today, after what we just went through in the last 2 years, I think people are recognizing what you're writing about even more so.
I appreciate it.
The value of work and the dignity of work is a powerful thing. And I too believe we're designed to do that. Don't forget to subscribe to New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast app of choice. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help new listeners find the show and hopefully put them on a path to a more fulfilling portfolio within the impact investing space. I'm Jeff Schaefer. We'll see you next time. This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk, including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.